Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45 and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is Father's Day, and here to help us learn a little bit more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. And happy Father's Day to all of our listeners out there this day. It's interesting that, you know, fathers kind of get at the end of the stick, you might say, in terms of having as much recognition that happens to mothers on Mother's Day. But often they're lucky if they get a text from their children on Father's Day. But yeah, Father's Day has been a time in which we, yeah, of course, recognize fathers, but as well as fatherhood, you know, and the paternal bonds and the influence that fathers have on society. And the holiday complements, similar celebrations like Mother's Day. Sometimes we've had Grandparents' Day or Siblings' Day. But we find that both Mother's Day and Father's Day has more of a kind of a permanent place in our recognitions of those in our lives. The dates around Father's Day and across the world, they all vary and happens at different times and in different regions. There are traditions, various traditions of honoring fatherhood. But for us, it was first proposed by Sonora Smart Dodd in Spokane, Washington in 1909. And is currently celebrated annually on the third Sunday in June.
Wow, 1909 feels like it was a long ways away, but it really, when you're thinking about holidays, it's not that far away. So is it a law now? Or
it is, you know, and that's what was interesting. Almost 70 years after that 1909, it was that President Richard Nixon signed into law in 1972 that it became a law. And how the presidents prior to him, like Lyndon Johnson, for instance, who, set aside the date on the calendar as the third Sunday in June. And then even before him, it was Calvin Coolidge who said, yeah, we need, this is something that we need to observe in 1924. So, you know, all through there was this sense of affirmation, at least by presidents. Some of the men themselves, though, said, you know, we'd rather have, instead of a Father's Day, we'd rather have a day to go fishing, and that would suffice. So in terms of our history, I thought that was a little bit of interest anyway. But we may not do chocolates and flowers like Mother's Day, but the way to kind of lift up this, this piece about fatherhood. And I know, you know, there are many who may not have their, quote, their own biological children, but who find ways to help parent other children. My granddaughter, Emery, you hear me talking about her all the time, but my granddaughter, who's four, yearns for grandfathers. So wherever she is, she kind of finds one or two to take that place of a grandfather. And I find that what she is looking in that, she wants someone who has a different kind of relationship with her than what I have with her, or even what her parents have with her. You know, she wants someone who's going to joke around, or who's going to attempt to give her a chase, or she'll put her hands in their hands and want to be kind of lifted up. You know, it's kind of a way that she can call out someone and just go and give them a big hug. And if there are other people around and that adopted grandfather is in the midst, other people get ignored by her as only that grandfather type becomes the one that she gravitates toward. So, you know, we have this fatherhood, you know, we have this male presence that is important to our children and is an important piece in our growing up. And I know as a child myself, I wanted to hear my dad's affirmation. And he was in that generation which did not say, I love you, or give hugs, or anything like that. So I didn't have those outward signs. But I remember the time when one of his friends said to me, your dad is really proud of you. And I took that because I knew my dad couldn't say it, but yet he felt it because he talked about me to one of his buddies, and that felt good. So this important male presence in the lives of our children, and how we want to be able to say thank you. Thank you to that in our own families, in the life of a congregation, in our community, that we want to say thank you to our fathers.
Absolutely. So you mentioned earlier that this was first proposed back in 1909, back way before all of us were around, but that means it really wasn't created as a Hallmark holiday, was it?
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was a way to give recognition first. This Sonora Dodd, that it was a way that she wanted to recognize her own father. And in fact, the history goes back to 1907 when here in West Virginia, around Monongah, in West Virginia, when that awful mine explosion occurred, and 361 men were killed in that explosion. 250 of them were fathers. And so we can imagine the number of children, the number of wives, children who were left without a father, wives without their husbands. And then it was Grace Clayton, whose father was killed in that mine accident, that suggested that that there be a service of commemoration. And this occurred in a local Methodist church. But, you know, in 1907, it didn't take, you know, they had their own commemoration, but in 1907, it didn't take hold. It didn't get outside of that community or, beyond. So that's why they say that it was the first service was in Spokane, Washington. But I had heard that story before of Monongah in West Virginia, how that was the earliest time in which fathers, grandfathers were recognized.
So since it didn't take on after we kind of introduced it in West Virginia, how does Sonora Smart come into play?
Well, you know, as she found that she heard a sermon that spoke highly on Mother's Day, and so she, from her hometown church, decided it would be good to have a similar day set aside to honor fathers. Her own father was a Civil War veteran and raised six children as a single parent. So she wanted to help to bring some honor to her father and all the fathers and grandfathers, and therefore was a little bit more politically astute, we might say, in being able to get that word out. She approached the local ministerial association in her hometown, got the Young Men's Christian Association involved in it, and gathered together a petition with signatures, and just received some overwhelming support, so that it was the first Father's Day celebration then actually occurred in 1910 with speeches by her own pastor as well as community pastors that occurred. So that became kind of the way then that Father's Day was celebrated in communities, that it didn't matter what faith denomination, but the community would come together and have a time of celebration to be able to give thanks for that male presence that is so important in a family.
Absolutely. These days, you'll often see a president acknowledging various holidays like Father's Day or Christmas with a post of their own on social media. Occasionally, you might see an address to the nation, but they did it a little bit differently back then with Woodrow Wilson in 1916, right?
Well, yes, it was different because Woodrow Wilson, we think of how easy it is to do video chats and all of that, but Woodrow Wilson telephoned the people at Spokane, Washington, at the time in which they were having a service. And he did that from the Oval Office and just was able to share how much he liked the idea of observing Father's Day, that he was instrumental in pushing it as a holiday, just like Mother's Day. At first, the members of Congress resisted, fearing that such a day would take away from the support of Mother's Day. But it then did take hold.
They were probably rightfully so about not wanting to take support away from Mother's Day and avoid the wrath there. But
that's right. That's
that
right.
Didn't deter... Dodd did it.
No, she continued on with her mission, and as I said, was a little bit more politically active in terms of getting Congress on board, her own representatives, and even when she was met with some criticism that she got laughed at and those kinds of things, she continued to hold steady, so that it became not only an observance and a day that was set aside, but it was a day that became a national holiday that was that's now always on our calendars that we have in terms of Father's Day.
Absolutely. So when we think about fathers, we think about fatherhood and our own fathers or father figures. But what about God the Father on this day?
Well, we do. We have lots of images of who God is, and certainly one of them is Father. You know, we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we know that Jesus referred to God as Daddy. That was the translation of the name Abba in that time, Daddy. And Daddy gives us a connotation of a father who is not necessarily strict with the rod, as we, you know, we're told in Proverbs, you know, spare the rod, you spoil the child. But he, instead, we have this Abba image that speaks to us of a closeness, an intimate way. You know, it's like when kids climb on the laps of their fathers or grandfathers. It's that hug around the neck. It's those butterfly kisses or those tickles that we remember as a child, or that we give to children. So our God the Father is one that is considered a very intimate Father who loves us dearly. And, you know, not only did Jesus talk about God as Father, but then we hear that picked up throughout a lot of the New Testament, that God was seen in that image. And sometimes that is difficult, especially if we have a childhood where there's been abuse in some way, where there's been neglect, to see that our own fathers didn't measure up to who God the Father is for us. But as we look at that image of God as Father, we take on the images of one who protects, one who loves, one who provides, one who is able to share their life in such a meaningful way that the individual helps to mold, helps to bring along a child in a manner that is fit with the gospel.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Helen. That was a great discussion, and I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. And all you men out there, happy Father's Day. Whether you gave birth or not, you have important roles in the life of children in our communities. And we thank you.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend a worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.